Shabbat blessing, everyone. Shabbat blessing. Familia Garay, Sister Cilician family, Joel Nahait and family, Brother Joe, Mom, and also Michelle, Justin, and also, I think JJ. I'm not sure. But
Jones.
Shabbat blessing, Brother Sister Joe, sorry. Shabbat blessing, Brother Bob, and everyone. Welcome. God bless everyone.
Here's a song I learned first in Spanish. ¿Quién podrá con su presencia y partirme bendición? Solo Cristo satisface mi transido corazón. And then one day I was back here in the States and I heard it sung in English. I said, wow, I know the tune, but I've never heard the words. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing, and forever praise and glorify the King. Solo Cristo satisfaces mi transido corazón. Es el lirio de los valles y la rosa de Sharon. Joel, close this time out. Sing us another song, please. Are you there, Joel?
Yes, dear brother, I'm right here. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Thou dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more, are saved to sin no more, are saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God are saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing womb supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Lord, I believe thou hast prepared, unworthy though I be, for me a blood-bought free reward, a golden harp for me, a golden harp for me, a golden harp for me, for me a blood-bought free reward, a golden harp for me. Therein a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue is ransomed from the grave, is ransomed from the grave, is ransomed from the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue is ransomed from the grave. Amen. There you go, Sister Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And those, sorry, that will be, just a minute. And those that will be listening in the recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, November 30th, 2024. This is our review lesson of our chapter 82 entitled, Why Weepest Thou, part 4 of our lesson 422. That happens when you take a little bit of cayenne before you begin. I apologize, dear one. We are going to ask our dear brother once more to be able to share with us the Tiny Talk theme song. It's a hymn entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus, and it's in the book 327.
Rose, are you trying to stave off a heart attack or something? All right. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. I was drinking a little bit of the lemon juice with cayenne. Sorry. We are going to ask the dear little ones to be able to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Have a blessing. Thank you, God, for your goodness for this morning and to protect us. I mean, thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please take the Sabbath day to keep it holy 6 days. Shall I labor and do all my work? In the 7 days, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the little ones in the Sabbath and not in the Sabbath, as they can come back in the Sabbath next time. And please protect the people who are sick and not sick. And please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. All these new things that we can learn during Sabbath. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray,
amen. Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. This is the time that we are going to hear all the blessing that the little one has been in their household, for mommy and daddy, their family members, even in their school or whatever area they are visiting. If you would like to share your testimony, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
I have a question, everyone. For this section of mommies and daddies, little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma, particularly Haley. Haley has, by the grace of God, taken up a new interest, and she has been every Sabbath, or even sometimes in the week, She takes my phone. I have the Bible that reads to you aloud. And she has been going through the book of Matthew. She's now about on Matthew chapter 8 and listening into it. And then she will follow up sometimes with questions as the Lord impresses up on our heart. And it's not just a blessing for her, but a blessing for us all, because as we're going about our days, and she's playing it aloud, we all can hear it. And even though we may not be fully engaged in what she's doing, we're still being blessed as we're hearing the word of God. So I pray that she continues and what they have started doing to make sure that they are retaining some of what they're learning. They have been taking notes from each section of each study that is given. So from this section to the section that our dear brother Dick does, brother Josh does, and Sister Rose does, and even sometimes for Elder Rob's a section as well. And they've been taking notes. They have in their little notebooks, church section is what they title it as. And so they take notes and they're able to go back and kind of look into what was learned on the particular date. And it has been a blessing to see their little minds going, and the questions that they're asking is really interesting. Questions that is probably just, you know, at their level, but it's also thought-provoking for us, because what that leads us to do is to go and search for an answer for them. And in that, we are even blessed, because we may not have thought about it on the level that they have been blessed by it. So I wanted to thank God for that blessing, and their little prayers are becoming so much more deliberate, I would say, because they are praying not just for themselves, but those that are around them, extending the prayers to friends and loved ones and everything like that. So it has been a wonderful blessing to witness that, and I pray that they walk with this light, not just in their little age now, but as they continue, that they may not be able to go far from it. So please keep them in prayer, as I'll keep yours in prayer, and we continue to be blessed by their efforts.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That is wonderful, dear sister, and we will continue to pray for them indeed. Is there any other members of our remnant family that would like to share a little blessing at home? May you unmute your mic. We will proceed, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is story times, little ones, and we are going to review our lesson from last Sabbath, which is entitled Condemned by Pilate, but part 2 of our chapter 22 in our storybook, The Story About Jesus. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and Luke 23. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried the more, saying, Let him be crucified. And when a mob of people causes a stir, the governor decides to go along with and quiet them. Pilate saw that something must be done. It was customary at the feast of Passover to set at liberty one prisoner whom the people might choose. This was a bad deal, but that's what Rome did. The Roman soldiers had recently captured a noted robber named Barabbas. He was a degraded ruffian and a murderer. What if they have any of those in the big cities? They do, and they get caught once in a while. So Pilate turned to the crowd and said with great earnestness, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" Matthew 27:17. They replied, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." Luke 23:18. That's blindness for you. To want to kill an innocent man and to have a wicked man released to them. Pilate was dumb with surprise and disappointment by yielding his own judgment and appealing to the people. He had lost his dignity and the control of the crowd. After that, he was only a tool of the mob. They swayed him at their will. He then asked, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Next slide, please. With one accord, they cried, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Matthew 27:22-23. Pilate's cheek paled as he heard the terrible cry, "Let him be crucified." He had not thought it would come to that. He had repeatedly pronounced Jesus innocent, and yet the people were determined that he should suffer this most terrible and dreadful death. Again, he asked the question, "Why? What evil hath he done?" This was taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, pages 134 and 135.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next hour, we will continue with our part three of our lesson, Condemned by Pilate, in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, December 7th, 2024. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother to review the questions for the children.
All right. In review, what was Barabbas' description in the story? How was he described?
Answer to number one is he was a
degraded
ruffian and a murderer.
A degraded ruffian and a murderer. Do they have those kind of people in the big cities? I'll bet they do. What did the crowd reply when Pilate asked who should be released?
The answer to number two is that away with the man and this man and release unto us
Barabbas.
Yeah, they said, "Get this man out of here. Crucify him. Let us have Barabbas." You suppose there's some of his friends in the crowd that were joining in that cry, plea? The priests were willing to have a robber and a ruffian and a murderer released instead of Jesus. And they got the people to go along with them. What did Pilate ask them next?
The answer to number three is, what evil hath he done?
Yes. He knew Jesus was innocent, and he had found nothing in him worthy of death. So he asked the people, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they didn't offer any reason to help, to crucify him. They just say, "Crucify him." And they stirred up such a tumult, riot. The Pilate said, "Okay, I'm innocent. You kill him." But he gave his consent, and he bears the guilt. Thank you for taking part.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It's time for a tiny talk and parents and guests to learn all of the research that has been done in the lessons of God creation and our topic moments of the Bible review. And we are going to ask our dear brother to share.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. In our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 7. We'll be reviewing in the lessons from a sermon, but we'll be seeing the spiritual lesson And it says below, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Excuse me. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. Moving from the spiritual lesson of lesson 6, the last one, the life of a deer. And the memory verse for the whole lesson is 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And the character quality of the story is self-control versus self-indulgence. Self-control is control of one's emotions, desires, or actions by one's own will, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Building on the sand. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew 7:26-27. Lord says, you who are resting your hope on self are building upon the sand. You who are resting in your hope on self are building on the sand. It is not yet too late to escape the impending ruin. Before the tempest breaks, flee to the sure foundation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded without end. Isaiah 28:16 and 45:22, 41:10, 45:17. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 152. Hear and remind, and things you can do while you remember this lesson. One, as you work together as a family, your chores remind you of your lesson. Two, as you clean the floor where sand and dirt has been tracked in, notice how it is not firm to build on. You never had a large rock carried into the house on a shoe. Rocks make good foundations. Jesus is the foundation to build on rather than the sand of self. And three, when you play outside with brother or sister, or think about how fawns play together. They like to chase each other. Safety from predators depends partly on the lessons they learn during such play. Next, in the reinforce, activities you can do to help you remember this lesson. One, look for deer, use your guidebook to identify the breed. Two, look at the foundation of your house. Is it made of rock or cement, like rock? Three, observe a mason working or watch workers pour a foundation. Four, if you have white-tailed deer in your area, observe them when they sense danger. 5 for individual activity stories and poems. Use the book entitled Children's Bible Activity Stories and Poems for this quarter. Say amen, reverse. 6, say amen. In Remarkable Parenthood, upon this living stone, Jews and Gentiles alike may build. This is the foundation upon which we may securely build. It is broad enough for all and strong enough to sustain the weight and burden of the whole world. And by connection with Christ, the living stone, all who build upon this foundation become living stones. Many persons are by their own endeavors hewn, polished, and beautified, but they cannot become living stones because they are not connected with Christ. Without this connection, no man can be saved. Without the life of Christ is in us, we cannot withstand the storms of temptation. Our eternal safety depends upon our building upon the sure foundation. Multitude today building upon foundations that have not been tested. When the rain falls and the tempest rages and the floods come, their house will fall because it is not founded upon the eternal rock, the chief cornerstone of Christ Jesus. The Desire of Ages, pages 599-600. And it says about this picture of this dear family. Many times during a storm or trial, like a deer, we need to stand perfectly still and wait on the Lord as what we should do. The right is review, who listing up all the lessons that we learned from the past few Sabbaths. 1, Jesus teaches. 2, blessed are they. 3, pure in heart and peacemakers. 4, the persecuted. 5, building on a rock. 6, building on the sand. This will end our study for our family Bible, lesson 4, year 2, quarter 4, entitled A Sermon. Next week, we will begin a new lesson in our study entitled Beast of Burden, in FPL year 2, quarter 4, lesson 5, A Soldier and a Widow. And in this small list tells what things we'll be learning. Lesson 1 will be Oxen. 2, camels. 3, a camel's body. 4, a camel's head. 5, a camel's hump, legs and feet. 6, life of a camel. That'll be exciting. Now, what can we learn from our nature experience, dear ones? Let's use our listen ears, little ones. Hear from the cess pictures of this evergreen and the foliage that we saw beyond it. If the Christian thrives and progresses at all, he must do so amid strangers to God, amid scoffing, subject to ridicule. He must stand upright like a palm tree in the desert. The sky may be as brass, but the sand may beat upon the palm's tree roots, a pile itself in heaps about its trunk. Yet the tree lives as an evergreen, fresh and vigorous amid the burning desert sands. Remove the sand till you reach the rootlets of the palm tree, and you discover the secret of its life. It strikes down deep beneath the surface to the secret waters hidden in the earth. Christians indeed may be fitly represented by the palm tree. They are like Enoch. Although surrounded by corrupting influences, their faith takes hold of the unseen. They walk with God, deriving strength and grace from him to withstand the moral pollution surrounding them. Like Daniel in the courts of Babylon, they stand pure and contaminated. Their life is hid with Christ and God. They are virtuous in spirit amid depravity. They are true and loyal, fervent and zealous, while surrounded by infidels, hypocritical professors, godless and worldly men. Their faith and life are hid with Christ and God. Jesus is in them, a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Faith, like the rootlets of a palm tree, penetrates beneath the things which were seen, drawing spiritual nourishment from the fountain of life. ST, July 8, 1886. Taken from the Signs of the Times Spirit of Prophecy book. Then we have a picture of the sallow plant. And the sallow's scientific name is Gaultheria shallon, which is of the plant Ericasse. Sallow is a trailing to upright evergreen shrub that grows 1 to 8 feet or 0.3 to 2.5 meters high and spreads via underground on rhizome networks. Native to North America's Pacific coast, sallow is found in woodlands and forests, understory, brushy areas, and edge habitats. In flower and fruit, elongate clusters of 5 to 15 flowers hang from reddish racemes. Urn-shaped flowers are way white or pale pink and 0.3 to 0.4 inches or 0.8 to 1 centimeter. They're long. Their 5 lobes are waxy and colored in mint sticky hairs, 0.2 to 0.4 inches or 0.5 to 1 centimeter. Wide, inky blue fruits develop in August to September. The leaf, leathery foliage is simple, alternate, and finely toothed at the edges, 2 to 4 inches or 5 to 10 centimeters long, and 1 to 3 inches of 2.5 to 7.5 centimeters. Wide leaf blades are ovate with glossy dark green upper surfaces and pale undersides. Leaves become reddish brown in winter. The edible parts are the fruit. In the key medicinal uses, this plant has astringent and anti-inflammatory properties. How to harvest it and eat? Fruits have well-balanced sweetness and acidity. Berries cling to the plant, and the best harvesting method is to roll them off. Enjoy them raw, dried, or cooked into jellies, jams, and desserts. Leaves can be used for tea and seasoning. And one of those recipes is a sallow berry salsa. The ingredients for are 1 onion, 1 jalapeno, 1/2 cup of cilantro, 1/2 cup of sallow berries, 1/2 cup of red huckleberries, 1/2 cup of blackberries, 1/2 cup of strawberries, and some lime juice. The instructions are to finely chop the onion, the jalapeno, and cut the cilantro. And toss together in a bowl with berries, drizzle with lime juice, and season it with a little salt and pepper. Info is taken from the Farmer's Guide to Wild Foods, author Nicole Apelian, PhD. Next we have the maple tree we use. The maple's name means big leaf, and its scientific name is Acer macrophyllum, and the family it's from is Sapinidaceae. Next is the corkscrew hazelnut seed. It says first on the left, hazelnut is a deciduous thicket-forming shrub found in woodlands and edges. The American hazelnut, scientific name is C. americana, which can grow to 15 feet or 4.5 meters, has a grounded crown, grayish bark, and bristly glandular hairy twigs. The beet hazelnut, or C, whose scientific name is C. cornuta, usually hairless with dark brown bark, can grow up to 10 feet or 3 meters. Flower and fruit. In early spring, yellow-brown male catkins ends up to 3 inches or 7.5 centimeters, long drew from year-old figs. Tiny female flowers, solitary or paired, are crowned with red styles. Hard-shelled nuts ripen between July and September, measuring 0.4 to 0.6 inches or 1 to 1.5 centimeters across. They are arranged singly or in clusters of 2 to 6, Beet hazelnuts are entirely enclosed in bristly husks that form narrow beaks. Next is the leaf. Foliage of both species is simple, alternate, and coarsely double-toothed with hairy undersides. Blades are oval to elliptic with pointed tips and slightly heart-shaped bases. Beet and hazelnut leaves are 1.2 to 4 inches or 3 to 10 centimeters long, while the leaves of American hazelnut are 2 to 6 inches or 5 to 15 centimeters in length with hairy stalks. All foliage is yellow to crimson. And the edible parts are the nuts. Now for the maple. The big leaf maple is the largest maple species on the continent, growing 50 to 80 feet or 15 to 24 meters tall. Branches are frequently covered with mosses, lichens, and ferns, thriving in moist, well-drained soils. It is especially abundant in mixed evergreen forests, flower and fruit. Fragrant male and female flowers, which occur together on the same tree, are 0.3 inches or 0.8 centimeters across. They are borne on 4 to 8 inches or 10 to 20 centimeters long cylindrical racemes between April and May. Single seeds are produced in bristly green, two-winged samaras about 1.5 inches or 4 centimeters long. They ripen between September to October. Leaf. Large glossy leaves are deciduous and deeply five-lobed, measuring 4 to 10 inches or 10 to 25 centimeters long and wide. Young leaves emerge burgundy tinted, return to dark green before finally turning yellow and orange in the fall. The leaf stems contain a milky sap. The edible parts are the sap and flowers, which is used for making things like syrup and stuff. And the key medicinal uses raw sap as a tonic. Next is the cactus, whose scientific name is Apocarus verticata, and the family it's in is called the Asteraceae. And the cat's ear is an introduced species of perennial herbaceous plant, also known as the false dandelion and flatweed. It can be found in western and eastern USA and Canada in lawns and wheat sites. In the flower, the bright yellow dandelion-like flower heads are borne on solid, sometimes forked stems, which have a milky sap. Flowers are 1 to 1.5 inches or 2.5 to 3.5 centimeters in size and become windborne seed with little parachutes. In leaf, like dandelions, its leaves form a basal rosette and a long taproot. Leaves can be up to 8 inches or 20 centimeters long. Hairy, narrower at the base, becoming wider and deeply lobed. They are green when young and turn yellow with age or drought. Edible parts. All plant parts, leaves and roots are used most. The key medicinal uses may help digestion, blood sugar levels, and maybe detoxifying. How to harvest any? A bit bland, leaves make a nice addition to salads and steamed spring greens. Using sharp scissors, harvest undamaged its healthy plants that grow in moist conditions in full sun. Plunge in cold salt water bath to improve flavor. Leaves are not as bitter as dandelion leaves. Roots are best harvested after flowering and be used as a coffee substitute. And here's the recipe for cat's ear coffee. First, gather roots and wash well. Chop into small pieces and let dry in the sun for an afternoon or overnight. Roast in a dry cast iron pan and over fire for 1 to 4 hours. Pulverize, ground, or finely chop roasted root species. Steep 1 1 tablespoon of roasted roots in 1 to 2 cups of water, sieve into drinking in cup, and sweeten as desired. Enjoy as a caffeine-free morning beverage. But a slight warning, a cat's ear may be too toxic to horses if consumed in large quantities. More info from the Forger's Guide to Wild Foods by Nicole Pillion, PhD. Then we have the caraway, and here's the info about it. The caraway scientific name is Carum carvi, and the family name this flower is in is the Apiaceae. The caraway is a biennial that grows 2 feet or 0.6 meters or tall and can be found in disturbed sites. It's tolerating both sun and shade. It prefers moist areas. Flower. The flat umbels with 3 to 10 small clusters of up to 20 each of white to pink, 5-petal flowers with white centers that bloom from June to August in the plant's second year. Fruits are slightly flattened up to 0.25 inches or 0.6 centimeters long, with prominent lengthwise ridges when mature. Leaf, where stalk joins the stem leaves are sheath-like. Basal and lower leaves have long stems with alternate compound leaves on tall parts of a plant that are slender and thread-like, less than 1/4 inch or 0.6 centimeters in size. The edible parts, all parts, even the seeds and leaves, are most commonly used. The key mesyl uses for this plant, they're used for gastrointestinal issues, including bloating and diarrhea. How to harvest and eat. The first year roots can be used like carrot or parsnip. Young leaves have a parsley dill flavor, can be used in raw salads or to flavor soups and stews. Older leaves have a stronger, spicier flavor. Seeds can be eaten raw, cooked, or used for tea. The recipe for caraway tea is slightly crushed seeds. Steep 1 teaspoon seeds and leaves in 1 cup of boiling water for 10 minutes. Discard seeds and leaves and sweeten if desired. And a slight warning, it is poisonous to dogs, cats, and horses. Leaves are high in volatile oils, which may cause vomiting and diarrhea in certain individuals. And another friendly warning is the poisonous lookalikes. The poison hemlock, whose scientific name is Conium maculatum, was found, you can find in one of the flowers, what it looks like, and its info on page 302 of the book. Both plants have tiny white flowers arranged in umbrella-shaped clusters. Caraway does not have a musty odor when crushed. Next, we have those pictures of the moons taken by Sister Grace. It says in the info concerning them, the moon's silvery luster reminds us that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Psalm 12:6. The moon then, as it appears to look calmly down on us, is a promise of the guidance of God through his word during times of darkness and perplexity. The night bathed in the beauty of moonlight is also an object lesson of how God wants to use his people to reflect silvery beams from heaven into the great void of spiritual darkness. But we all, with open face, beholding, reflecting, as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The great purpose of life is to develop a people that will pass the judgment because they have been changed into the image of the Lord. From the pictures of the tarantula nebula, well, we learn a little more for about the stars. This year, stars also come in a delightful variety of colors. The different colors of the stars can remind us of how each of God's children reflect different colors or aspects of his character. The color of a star depends upon its temperature. Spiritually speaking, you might say the color of our lives is influenced by our predominating or usual temper. In this study of the stars, we will explore some of the many ways stars differ from one another. Each one is a unique creation of God, just the same as each person is. The phrase in the previous text, differeth in glory, may also be translated differeth in dignity, or honor, or praise, or worship. Not only do the stars differ in their brightness, but as this text indicates, each one has its own particular divinely designed structure for its own particular role in God's creation. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Psalm 148, paragraph 3. And it says, next to them, the tarantula nebula has an apparent magnitude of 8. Concerning its distance of about 49 kpc, or which is translated as 160,000 light years, this is an extremely luminous non-stellar object. Its luminosity is so great that if it were as close to Earth as the Orion Nebula, the Tarantula Nebula would cast visible shadows. In fact, it is the most active starburst region known in the local group of galaxies. The James Webb Space Telescope reveals details of the structure and composition of the Tarantula Nebula, as well as dozens of background galaxies. Stellar Nursery Euthyrae Doradus gets its name of the Tarantula Nebula from its long, dusty filaments. Located is the large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. It's the largest and brightest star-formed region near our own galaxy, plus home to the highest, most massive stars known. The center of this image, taken by Webb's Near-Infrared Camera Instrument, or NIR cam, has been followed by the radiation from young massive stars, seen sparkling pale blue. Only the densest surrounding areas of the nebula resist erosion, forming the pillars that appear to point back toward the cluster of stars. The pillars are home to still-forming stars, which will eventually leave their dusty cocoons and help shape the nebula. Fluffy hand-colored nebula clouds with rust-colored highlights surround a black central area. Within that area, the focal point of the image is one large yellow star with 8 long thin points. To the right of this star is a bright star cluster in an oval shape. The stars within the cluster look like tiny pale blue sparkles. The cluster is more densely packed at its core and scattered outward. Towards the bottom of the image, multiple arms appear to spiral out of cloudy tan knob, resembling a spider or squid structure. Other blue and yellow eight-pointed stars, as well as distant galaxies, are dotted throughout the image. Continuing our reference reading from the Mammals of the Bible of our review, taken from Thoughts on Our Blessing, Chapter 2, The Beatitudes, Part 6. Continuing, do you desire to become a follower of Christ, yet know not how to begin? Are you in darkness and know not how to find the light? Follow the light that you have. Set your heart to obey what you do, though, of the word of God. His power, his very life, dwells in his word. As you receive the word in faith, it will give you power to obey. As you give heed to the light you have, greater light will come. You are building on God's word, and your character will be builded after the similitude of the character of God, of Christ. Matthew 150, paragraph 1. Christ, the first foundation, is a living stone. His life is in part all that are built upon him. ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:5, Ephesians 2:21. The stones became one with the foundation, for a common life dwells in all. That building no tempest can overthrow, for that which shares the life of God with him surviveth all. Mount of Blessing, page 150, paragraph 2. Every building erected on other foundations than God's word will fall. He who, like the Jews in Christ's day, builds on the foundation of human ideas and opinions, of forms and ceremonies, of man's invention, or on any works that he can do independently of the grace of Christ, is erecting his structure of character upon the shifting sand. The fierce tempest of temptation will sweep away the sandy foundation and leave his house a wreck on the shores of time. My Blessing, page 150, paragraph 3. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, judgment also lie laid to the line, and righteousness is to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lives, and the waters shall overflow the high place. Isaiah 28:16-17. Mount Blessing, page 151, paragraph 1. But today, mercy pleads with the city. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Ezekiel 33:11. The voice that speaks the impenitent today is the voice of him who in heart anguish explained as he beheld the city of his love. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, killed the prophets and stoned them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Luke 13:34-35. In Jerusalem, Jesus beheld a symbol of a world that had rejected and despised his grace. He was weeping, O stubborn heart, for you, even when Jesus' tears were shed upon the mountain. Jerusalem might yet have repented and escaped her doom. For a little space, the gift of heaven still waited her acceptance. So, O heart, to you, Christ is still speaking in accents of love. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Revelation 3:20, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Mount of Blessing, page 151, paragraph 2. You who are resting your hope on self are building on the sand. But it is not yet too late to escape the impending ruin. Before the tempest breaks, flee to the sure foundation. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation in a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, woe without end. Isaiah 28:16, 45:22, 41:10, 45:17. My Blessings, page 152, paragraph 1. Our three bonus questions review. 1. Where did the foolish man build his house? The answer is in Matthew 7:26. 2. What happened to the foolish man's house? The answer is Matthew 7:27. 3. What is the house? The answer is character. What is the rock? The answer is Christ. And what is the sand? The answer is self. All answers are from Thoughts on Mount of Blessing, pages 147 to 152. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, He Lives. It's a theme of our study. You can find it in 251 in the hymn book. If you would like to share the hymn, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hands of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His love and care. And though my heart go weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal Alleluia, to Jesus Christ your King, the hope of all who seeks Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies, or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our review section of our family study, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mom and my daddy and my uncles. Just protect people that you're not here, or they can come back to the Sabbath. This is the way that we're going to be learning today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that came in. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture song singer in this section, God's Love, that is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, King James Version margin.
Behold, what manner of love the Father. Sons of God. What manner of love? 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take some time to be able to review our last part of this particular chapter, part 4 of our study book, The Desire Pages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 794, continuing. Often they repeated the words, "We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." Lonely and sick at heart, they remembered his words. If they do these things and drink, what will be done in the dry? Luke chapter 24, verse 21, and chapter 23, verse 31. They met together in the upper chamber and closed and fastened the doors, knowing that the fate of their beloved teacher might at any time be theirs. Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 794, continuing. And all the time they might have been rejoicing in the knowledge of a risen Savior, in the garden Mary had stood weeping when Jesus was close beside her. Her eyes were so blinded by tears that she did not discern him. And the hearts of the disciples were so full of grief that they did not believe the angel's message or the words of Christ himself. Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 4.
How many are still doing what these disciples did? How many echo Mary's despairing cry? They have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they have laid him. To how many might the Savior's words be spoken? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? He is close beside them, but their tear-blinded eyes do not discern him. He speaks to them, but they do not understand. Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph.
Continuing the reading. Oh, that the bowed head might be lifted, that the eyes might be opened to behold him, that the ears might listen to his voice. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Bid them look not to Joseph's new tomb that was closed with a great stone and sealed with the Roman seal. Christ is not there. Look not to the empty sepulcher. Next slide, please. Continuing, mourn not as those who are hopeless and helpless. Jesus lives, and because he lives, we shall live also. From grateful hearts, from lips touched with holy fire, let the glad song ring out. Christ is risen. He lives to make intercession for us. Grasp this hope, and it will hold the soul like a sure, tried anchor. Believe in that. Thou shalt see the glory of God. Amen. The Desire of Ages, page 794, paragraph 6.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. To consider our chapter, 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, to answer the questions or to share anything with the remnant and the little ones. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, in meekness and fear. So we are going to read out the questions for the dear ones that are not able to see the screen. If they are moved to be able to share or to edify the little ones, you can unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, what did the story take place? Where did the story take place? Forgive me. Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place it in a room, dear ones. Otherwise, you can use your mic. Who would like to take the first one?
Number one is the Savior of Christ risen, Mary, and the disciples.
The answer to question two, what is the main idea for this section of the story? It mainly talks about how Jesus revealed himself to Mary and the insight concerning it when
I believe number three is still at the tomb. Yeah. Number four is when Christ dies on the cross and he's risen. We see that he's risen from the dead, and much of his the tomb is highlighted.
What I can relate to is into the story in Jesus had fulfilled his goal and showed himself to Mary to know that he is not dead anymore, and also for Mary to give messages to the disciples that he is has ascended, and that he is going up to meet his, to meet his heavenly father and all and everyone's heavenly father, which is the one true God. And after he's justified, then, and he was, to go back to see either of them all in the near future. After all, he completed his goal in saving us from sin, both from that time and even up to this time.
What I learned from this lesson is that the Lord is ever near us, and there are times when our eyes are not able to see all the times he is right there by our side, and our ears are not always able to trained to hear him speaking to us daily. So I learned that we have to learn how to allow the Lord to give us good eyesight and open our ears so that we can see and walk faithfully, knowing that he is ever there by our side, and he is ever there to teach us and to share with us and to hear our prayers and our needs. So that's what I learned.
Amen. I would like to add to that in that many scriptures that I have come across has highlighted that we should focus on the blessing through the circumstance. But it's hard sometimes in the circumstance to believe and know that there is a blessing. And in this circumstance, it was very hard for the disciples and everyone involved to see the blessing that Christ was risen, that he was right there, because they were so caught up in the hurt and the disbelief of his death and all the sorrow that came with that. But in the midst of that, there was a blessing. So I learned that we should be, by God's grace, because it's not easy, to not so much focus on the circumstance, but see what blessing the Lord is bringing with the circumstance.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to highlight some points that we had learned during this particular chapter. If you notice that it can also be a blessing for this time. The third angel's message is like the way how the angel's message was brought to the disciples. So like that, there will have to be despair, because some events that was happening was marvelous. And the third angel's message is also giving us a marvelous message, which is what our high priest is doing in heaven. At the same time, it tells us that whenever we hold to certain doctrines or truths that we think is true, based on what we have learned through custom and tradition, can also blind us from present truth. And because of not really looking towards what the Savior was speaking to them all through the time that he spent with them, he was not only helping them to come up higher, but also he was giving them prophetic. So as they kept their eyes on what was not only common and what was really happening in their daily life, and all the other things that can become a hindering or a wall, they were not able to prepare themselves for something that was so remarkable. And that is, we was given the opportunity through Christ's blood to be cleansed from our unrighteousness. And a door was opened to go boldly to the throne of grace. So not only for the time that we have learned concerning Mary when she went to the sepulcher, but if you're taking as far back as Jacob, if you remember when Jacob was wrestling, he was worried about what was going to happen, not only to his family, but what was going to happen to him, in the sense of he wanted to make everything right. And when he was with so much despair of what was happening to him. He also had a chance to look into his life. For all that time, his Savior was right next to him. And what I will come away with these four parts is to, no matter what is going on in our life, to seek the hands of the Savior in it. It is difficult. It is difficult because the flesh does not like truth. It doesn't know that whatever truth that is coming to us is the beginning of getting to realize that it's going to have to die eventually. And the tender love that the Savior had with his disciples, every one of them, he took time to be with them, to assure them and kind of strengthen their foundation. And this is what I have come away with, and I'm praying that all of us will be able to be an overcomer, but only through the power of Christ, because we can do nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rag, and the covering of the righteousness of Christ is our only hope. And that's what I want to be able to share and what I have learned. Is there anybody else that would like to share? Maybe I'll mute your mic. We are going to continue in our study. Welcome to all the precious brethren. We have thoughts and favorite poem and music as well. Our thought is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy book entitled The Review and Herald, dated June 9, 1896, entitled Lay Whole of the Hope. We are going to touch upon paragraph 1 and 2. And our opening scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, 19, which read, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that which that within the veil. Who would like to take the first paragraph? May you unmute your mic.
When you begin to feel despondent, look unto Jesus and commune with him. When you think your brethren misunderstand you, remember that Jesus, your elder brother, never makes a mistake. He will judge righteously. The words of Christ uttered in the great day of the feast have a wonderful meaning and power. He lifted up his voice and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We are not to be driven to Christ. It is our part to come, to make our own choice, to come to the fountain of life.
Why should we not come to Christ? For in him our hope of eternal life is centered. The lessons that have come to us through Christ are not oft-repeated maxims. They are full of vital thought. But it is our part to appropriate divine truth. The Apostle Paul exhorts us to lay hold on the hope set before us in the gospel. By faith, we are to appropriate the promises of God and to provide ourselves with the abundant blessings which have been secured for us through Christ Jesus. Hope has been set before us, even the hope of eternal life.
Nothing short of this blessing for us will satisfy our Redeemer, but it is our part to lay hold upon this hope by faith in him who has promised. We may expect to suffer, for it is those who are partakers with him in the sufferings who shall be partakers with him in his glory. He has purchased forgiveness and immortality for the sinful, perishing souls of men. But it is our part to receive these gifts of life. Believing in him, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. We are to understand that we may confidently expect God's favor, not only in this world, but in the heavenly world, since he paid such a price for our salvation. Faith in the atonement and intercession of Christ will keep us steadfast and immovable amid the temptations that press upon us and the church militant. Let us contemplate the glorious hope that is set before us and by faith lay hold upon it. The Review of Herald, June 9, 1896, paragraph 1.
We must not permit Satan to cast his hellish shadow athwart our pathway and accomplish his purpose of eclipsing the bright views of our future reward. Let us not look upon his shadow of darkness. We gain heaven not through our own merits, but through the merits of Jesus Christ. We cannot find salvation in our own individual selves. We are to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look, we live. Satan would point us to ourselves and seek to make us feel that we must bear our own sins. How hard poor mortals strive to be sin bearers for themselves and for others. But the only sin bearer is Jesus Christ. He alone can be my substitute and sin bearer. The forerunner of Christ exclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Shall we not give up our sins and let them go? Shall we not turn from them and hate them, and still remember that Christ regards his human agents as of great value? We cannot calculate the estimate placed upon the soul.
Then take your eyes off yourself and encourage hope and confidence in Christ. Let your hope not be centered in yourself, but in him who has entered within the veil. Talk of the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Review and Herald, June 9, 1896, Part 2.
It is true that we are exposed to great moral peril. It is true that we are in danger of being corrupted. But this danger threatens us only as we trust in self and look no higher than our own human efforts. In doing this, we shall make shipwreck of faith. Our hope of salvation is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast when it entered into that which is within the veil. Anchored in Christ, the soul, like a ship amid the raging elements, tempest-tossed and driven, is immovable. It is not driven on the rocks or drawn into the whirlpool. "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" said Christ to the sinking Peter. The same question may be addressed to us. Why do we dishonor God with our shameful unbelief?
The Lord has pledged himself to give us strength to enable us to stand. As we search the scriptures, we find ground for confidence, provision for sufficiency. It is our privilege to say boldly, yet humbly, "The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I shall not be moved from my steadfastness. My life is hid with Christ in God. Because he lives, I shall live also." Let us pledge ourselves before God and the angels of heaven that we will not dishonor God by speaking words of discouragement or unbelief. If we talk faith, we shall have faith. We shall be confirmed in faith. Close the door to distrust and open the door wide to faith. Invite into the soul temple the heavenly guest. Let every word we utter, every line we trace with the pen, give evidence of unwavering faith. Let us not think that Jesus is the savior of someone else, but that he is our personal friend. Entertain the precious thought that Jesus loves me, In this way, the cloud of despondency and gloom will be rolled back from the soul, and we shall be enabled to make melody in our hearts unto God. From the Review and Herald, June 9, 1896, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. And the title to our poem is entitled A Hope for Heaven, taken from Children Activity, Book Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8, page 200. Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
'Tis not for earth's treasures I seek, it's honor or wealth or renown, but a home with the holy and meek, when Jesus shall give them a crown.
Number 2. It is not for the streets paved with gold, the pomp, or the harp we shall bear, that I long for the bishop's mansions above, but it is that my Savior is there. I would not unwillingly do his commands, which I know to be just now, nor bow like a slave to his will, because I well know that I must but cheerfully, gladly would give my affections to service and service free, nor would I at snuffling suffering grieve for his sake who suffered for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks so much, dear ones. Our special music is taken from Free Christian Music entitled Come All Ye That Labor.
Oh, come, all ye that labor. Oh, come, ye weary and oppressed. Come with your burden. Come when your heart is distressed. Oh, come, oh, come. Come and he'll give you rest, sweet rest. Come to the Savior, on him your burden roll. Oh, come, oh, come. Come and find rest unto your soul. O soul in grief and sorrow, O come on Christ alone depend. He will not leave you, he will protect, defend. O come, O come. You find him your dearest friend. Come to the Savior, on him your burden roll. control. Come to the Savior, He will redeem and make whole. Oh, come, oh, come, come and find rest unto your soul. Come to the Savior, on Him your burden roll. Oh, come, oh, come, come and find rest unto your soul. Oh, come.
Amen. We are going to leave the section for our testimony at the end of our service, because we are a little bit over a lot. Forgive us. Next week, we will begin a new chapter of a lesson entitled The Walk to Emmaus in our study book, The Desire Ages. If we all can kneel and bow our heads before the Lord, as we come boldly before the throne. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come boldly before the throne, Father, we want to thank you for being who you are and to have mercy upon your children. Father, thank you, Lord, for coming and dying for us, not only for us, but even bring salvation in the universe, Father Jesus. Father, we want to be able to do the best that we can, but we know we can't do anything without thee. We pray, dear Lord, that you help us, that we would allow you to do what you know best. Help us, dear Lord, in every step in our lives, in every circumstances, Father Jesus. Give us the privilege to be able to be co-laborers. But first, Father, help us to learn as children, that we may be able to grow up women and men in Christ Jesus. We also thank our Heavenly Father for sending His beloved Son, for such a price, Aaron. Father, we don't know in what way we are going to glorify your name, but we are honored, Father Jesus, that you will call us to be able to make our calling and election sure. Be with all the little ones. Be with the parents. Be with our guests. Be with each and every one of us, Father Jesus. We thank you. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our unchristlike spirit, Father. We plead the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May you continue being with us. Send the Holy Spirit that we may continue to learn more day by day. And give us the power also to put them into practical use, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will have our lesson 423. This will be our chapter 83, entitled The Walk to Emmaus. That will be held December 7th, 2024. Leaving the scripture for the last time, because this is the ending of our chapter 82, taken from Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yeah, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graved thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. And from our book, The Ministry of Healing, page 72, paragraph 2, circumstances may separate friends. The restless waters of the wide sea may roll between us and them. But no circumstances, no distance can separate us from the Savior. Wherever we may be, He is at our right hand to support, maintain, uphold, and share. Greater than the love of a mother for her child is Christ's love for His redeemed. It is our privilege to rest in His love to say, I will trust Him, for He gave His life for me. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.